For our next meditation at the Lord's table, let us turn to Genesis chapter 40 and verse 14, where we read, "Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Joseph is one of the very few prominent Bible characters whose biography is free from all moral blemish. In many respects, the life of Joseph may serve as a foreshadowing of the life of our Lord himself. In prison, Joseph, like the Lord, found himself associated with two malefactors in the same condemnation. To the one he became the interpreter of life, and to the other, the interpreter of death. Of the latter, Joseph asked nothing, but of the former, he requested he would remember him when it was well with him, that he would show kindness unto him, and thirdly, that he would make mention of him to Pharaoh. In this threefold request, one can almost hear the voice of the Lord Jesus asking us to do the same for him. Let us note the timing of all this. It was to be when it was well with him, in other words, when he was again enjoying the favor of his royal master, whom he had grievously offended. Just why the butler was reinstated, whereas his companion the baker was not, may be a moot question. We may, however, get a clue in the things that they dreamed about. In the case of the baker, we see the results of his labors devoured by the birds. In the parable of the sower, these are likened to the wicked one, who is none other than Satan himself. The baked meats were intended for Pharaoh, but they never reached him. The end result, nothing but empty baskets. By way of contrast, the butler, in his dream, brings that which is suggestive of the shedding of blood, apart from which there is no remission of sin. This fundamental tenet of our faith finds its earliest illustrations in the book of Genesis. When the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed Adam and Eve, it was certainly at the cost of some animal's life. And when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, the same great truth was made explicit. How much of this truth may have penetrated to Egypt, we cannot say. We're not told why the chief butler was restored to the royal favor in spite of the fact that he, like the chief baker, had offended his lord, the king of Egypt. In any case, sheer gratitude should have made him ready to do anything that Joseph might ask of him. Instead, we read in the last verse of the chapter, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." It is to be feared that many of those who claim to know Christ as Savior are not unlike the chief butler in this respect. When our Lord instituted the feast which we know as the Lord's Supper, he simply requested that his disciples should observe it in remembrance of him. He did not give them the bread to crown themselves with it or to cover up their empty baskets. The bread was to remind them of his body. Likewise also the cup after supper, said he, is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Such are the simple yet precious memorials of his death. Like Joseph, our Lord asked this favor of those of whom it may be said that it is well with them because of what he has done for them. We often sing it as well with my soul, but perhaps we do not always realize that that includes more than the salvation of our souls. Each day it is well with us because we are kept by the power of God. Then, too, there is a sense in which this may be referred to our spiritual health. In the instructions given for the observance of the Lord's Supper, we are told to examine ourselves before we eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The purpose of this self-examination is to discover anything in our lives which may be grieving the Holy Spirit. This should lead to repentance and confession, so that every hindrance to full communion with the Lord may be removed. It is in this way that good spiritual health is maintained, so that we may rightly sing, "It is well with my soul." Then, as we remember him and meditate on the love that led him to Calvary for us, our hearts will be moved as well. When Joseph asked the butler to show kindness unto him, he was asking for just such a response, one that would involve his heart as well as his mind. The remembrance of our Lord should have a like effect upon us. It should be a matter of deep concern if we're not so moved. A good way to test one's spiritual state is to read such passages as Psalm 22 and 69, Isaiah 53, or the account of the crucifixion as related in the Gospels. If one can read such portions of the Word of God without being moved to the very depths of his being, he should examine himself lest he be backslidden in heart, if not in ways. We grow cold all too easily. Perhaps that's one reason why we're told that as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye shall show the Lord's death till he come. Frequent observance of the Lord's Supper need not make it commonplace. Rightly observed, it can be a true means of grace, in that it will encourage a healthy spiritual life. One of the practical results of this will be that it will be easy to speak of him. Joseph's request was, "Make mention of me to Pharaoh." Our Lord's word to us is summed up in the Great Commission. It is to be hoped that each time we come together to remember him in the breaking of bread, our hearts, like that of the psalmist, may bubble over with a good matter, that our tongues may be like the pen of a ready writer, speaking the things which we have made, touching the King, Psalm 45. Overflowing hearts require no prompting, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For another meditation, let's turn to Psalm 23, verse 5, where we read, "Thou preparest a table before me, in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." In the second verse of this well-known psalm, we see the Lord's provision for our hunger and our thirst. In the verse now before us, we see his provision for our communion with him. No doubt all that goes before this is in preparation for this. There he leads, he feeds, he restores, and he comforts. But in preparing a table before us, he provides for something over and above all of these things. In its simplest form, the table was a prepared area or skin laid out on the ground. And who prepares it is also the host. You and I are his guests. But in keeping with the rest of the psalm, what we have here is individual communion with our host. It is this individual fellowship with the Lord which should precede our gathering as an assembly to remember him and his death for us. That is why I believe that the table is mentioned after the valley of the shadow of death. In the Lord's Supper, we look back to Calvary and forward to his coming again. In thus remembering the Lord, we are doing something for him, but at the same time, he also does something for us. "Thou anointest my head with oil," is the way it is expressed here. The scriptures tell us that David was anointed three times, first by Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, then by the men of Judah, 2 Samuel 2, 4, and finally by the elders of Israel in the same chapter. But let us see what he tells us here about another anointing by the Lord himself, and it is this divine anointing which supersedes all the others. "The Lord had found David and had anointed him with his holy oil," Psalm 89, verse 20, thus setting him apart for himself. This is something which he does for everyone whom he finds. Salvation and sanctification go together. "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his," Romans 8, verse 9. It is by his Spirit that he separates us unto himself. This separation, however, is not a dead, formal separation. The holy oil with which we have been anointed is also the oil of gladness. Primarily, of course, this applies to the Messiah. But the very mention of fellows encourages us to believe that they share in this joyful anointing, not to the same degree, to be sure, for he is ever above his fellows. In this, as in all else, he must have the preeminence. But by his grace we may sing, "There is a place where mercy sheds the oil of gladness on our heads." We gather from our text that that took place at his table. It is altogether fitting that it should be the head which is anointed. lest the precious ointment may run down till even the garments which speak of our habits are affected by it. Psalm 133. And since we belong to that holy priesthood whose function it is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, we need not hesitate to make the application. Both Aaron and his sons were anointed with the holy anointing oil. But let us see to it that we are anointed with fresh oil. Psalm 92, verse 10. Scripture speaks of the renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he pours out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. But yesterday's supply of the Spirit will not do for today. By coming to the table which he has prepared for us, we shall find that fresh anointing that maketh the face to shine. Psalm 104, verse 15. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who also hath sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1, 21, 22. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. May the Lord enable us to bear this fragrance wherever we go for the glory of his name, for his name is as ointment poured forth. Would to God that every time we come to remember our blessed Lord, we might carry with us from that place of fellowship and communion the sweet fragrance of his own presence, that even those with whom we come in contact after such an experience may be able to detect that we have been with Jesus. This is something which I believe should challenge us as we come together from time to time to remember the Lord and his death, that we might really carry something from the meeting, so that it becomes something more than just a formal celebration or observance of the feast of remembrance, but that we might be have some practical value, especially when we go back to our work the next day, that the people in the office where we work, or the school where we teach, or the home in which we live, might be able to detect that we have really had an extraordinary, wonderful experience as together we have remembered the Lord in his death. It should have that effect upon us. And just as we see there in that Psalm 23 to which we have referred, thou anointest my head with oil. And you know, when your head is anointed with oil, it preserves you also from getting what we call a swelled head. It makes you humble in his presence. And this should be another one of the wonderful byproducts. One of the great fruits of remembering the Lord in his death, it should be to humble us again in his holy presence, and, as I've already said, that people may take note of us that we have been with Jesus. How often we give evidence of something quite different from this, but I pray as we close this meditation that this may have its due effect upon us, that people may take note of us, as we've said, that we have been with Jesus.